This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We're Grant and Danny, and this is The Fan. As always, thanks for making the show part of your day. We welcome in our audience in Richmond for the next 3 hours on AM 910, FM 105.1. To the rest of you all over D.C. on the flagship 106.7, and everybody listening coast to coast on the Odyssey app, want to let you know that you'll have a chance to win Caps tickets at 5 o'clock today when we play a game called Does Ryan Know It? It'll be the debut of Does Ryan Know It? We'll ask very basic questions. You'll have to bet on whether or not Ryan knows the answer to that question. If he does, he can win Caps tickets. You got to guess right, though. Right now, let's go to the BetQL guest hotline. Bet smarter to beat the books. Download the BetQL app today by visiting BetQL.com. Our friend Ryan Wilson covers the NFL and the NFL draft for CBS Sports. Ryan, thanks for a couple minutes. How about that Washington football team that was left dead in the water a few weeks ago, huh?
No, you're exactly right, Grant. No one was really taking them seriously. People were talking about perhaps the Vikings getting hot after their win over the Packers a few weeks ago. And Washington just keeps on doing their thing under the radar. And I think, Ron Rivera's let's go on the way off the field pretty much says it all. It's been impressive. And the defense hasn't been great. And that's no surprise. Chase Young is down. Taylor Heineke just keeps playing through it. And it's actually been a lot of fun to watch. And they're in great shape. Not only in the playoff race, I mean, they're 17th right now. The teams behind them don't feel like they're going to put up much of a threat. We'll see. But, I mean, if Dallas keeps reeling, we got to have that conversation as well about how the division ends up.
So, to that point, Ryan, of the teams that are outside looking in right now, Vikings, Falcons, Saints, Eagles, you could throw the Panthers in there. I'm kind of not. That's my own bias, but you could throw them back in there if you want. Who among the group that's out is most likely to be in your opinion?
Yeah, that is such a tough question. I mean, I have no idea, Danny, only because I can't trust the Minnesota Vikings. I said this the other day to some coworkers. I would rather have Taylor Heineke right now than Kirk Cousins, and I don't even think I would hesitate. Just Kirk Cousins is great for 45 minutes, and then the final 15 minutes, he just seems to forget that his job is to throw a football overhand. The Falcons, I don't know how that team won 5 games. Arthur Smith should be coach there right now because that is a terrible football team. The Saints look like they're turning to Taysom Hill because Trevor Siemian wasn't working out. They have Ian Book, the rookie from Notre Dame. He might even get a look. And then the Eagles just, Nick Sirianni doesn't want to embrace the run game. That's what makes them successful. And when they throw the ball, they lose football games. I'm with you on Carolina. Of all those teams, I suppose the Eagles, if they're willing to commit to running the football and limiting Jalen Hurts' mistakes, throwing the ball down the field. Right now, though, I feel really good about Washington. They're minimizing the mistakes. Like I said, the defense is great, but no one's defense is great. And if the offense can sort of, matriculate the ball down the field, to quote Hank Stram, and eat up the clock, they have every opportunity to be that seventh team.
Ryan Wilson on G&D. Ryan, you're my boy. I'm surprised to hear you perpetuate the flawed Kirk Cousins narrative that is not correct. He played the Bengals this year. He got them into field goal range before Dalvin Cook fumbled. He got them into game-winning field goal drive on the fourth quarter, and they missed a chip shot against the Cardinals in Week 2. He had a game-winning drive against the Lions in the final 30 seconds. He had a game-winning drive, was flawless in overtime in the fourth quarter against the Panthers. He had a game-tying drive to get to overtime after they collapsed in a game where they scored over 30 against the Ravens. He had a game-tying drive against the Packers and eventually a game-winning drive. So I'm interested in this he-can't-throw-in-the-fourth-quarter thing that you're telling me.
Well, oddly, Grant, you left out the last year's game when he kept airline ball down the field on that final drive that should have set up. What it was a chance to be a game tying situation.
That's true. Every single week, he's not great in the fourth quarter. That is true.
I will say this: you're going to get a huge cut on his next contract because as his agent, you are doing a great job selling Kirk Cousins. I don't hate Kirk Cousins.
It's not hard to do this year. He's playing really well.
Well, they're 5-6, and if you see Mike Zimmer's face half the time, it's not because he loves Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, Mike Zimmer's a terrible head coach. That's a big reason why they're 5-6.
That could also be. But here's the thing. I'm not building the team around Kirk Cousins. He's an above-average quarterback. He's above replacement level. You won't get that pushback on me. He's not a top-10 quarterback. And I think if you had more consistency there in Minnesota, and you could say, well, I'm not going to push back on the Mike Zimmer stuff, they would be better than 5-6. Yes, he has done a lot of good things. It just feels like in the moment that you need him, he ain't always there. Now, look, Brent Joseph, the kicker, has been a huge problem. And I would imagine Zimmer had a choice of throwing one guy off a bridge, and it was Kirk Cousins and Greg Joseph. It's going to be Greg Joseph. But for me, Kirk Cousins, I don't love Kirk Cousins as much as some people. And at the top of the list, I just found out that it was Grant.
No, and I only go back and forth because you're my boy. I have no problem with someone telling me he's not a top 10 quarterback. Like, it's all reasonable. He's above average, whatever. There is this narrative since he was here that has been perpetuated, and it's flawed, that he's, like, terrible at the end of games. And specifically this season, he's largely been fantastic in those situations. And so that's all. When I hear it, I'm always just kind of surprised.
You.
And Zimmer wouldn't throw him off a bridge. He'd try to run it off the bridge, just for clarification.
Very, very important. Having said that, now that we've got that little spat out of the way, I don't think they're going to make the playoffs because I think they're immensely flawed, and I wouldn't trust them either, for the record. Having said all of that, Ryan, Washington's chances look pretty decent, but in the NFC East, I kind of like Philly to get their act together. I said that last week on record. I look like an idiot because then they completely fell apart against the New York Giants. Are they done because of that game, or are they still in a decent spot?
This is where you and I agree, Grant, because I'm with you. I was like, okay, I buy into what they're doing the last few weeks. They've been leaning on the running game, not asking Jalen Hurts to do a bunch, and then last week they came out and did the exact opposite, and you're just wondering what's going on against a Giants team that is not a good football team. And I think actually you and I probably agree on that. And the throws that Jalen Hurts made towards the end of the first half, the arm punt in the third quarter to midfield, it leaves you wondering, why would you put him in a position to do that, number one? And number two, just run the ball. You have Jalen Hurts. And this isn't even – I say this all the time. During the draft, when Jalen Hurts was coming out, I was talking to an NFL assistant coach, and he said he might be the best running back in the Big 12, and he wasn't a slight. He was saying that's how good he is. Use him in that capacity, and I think if they get back to that, Nick Sirianni does it, because their defense can make some plays, I think you have a chance, and you just have to commit to it. And Nick Sirianni, I know Eagles fans are not happy the way he's been as a first-year coach, but I think he has an opportunity to prove himself down the stretch. I think they're still going to be in the mix. Unfortunately, they're 5-7, so they're a game back of everybody else in that chase. But again, win the games you're supposed to win, and then you're back in the conversation.
At Ryan Wilson, CBS, for our buddy Ryan Wilson, who joins us here on Grant and Danny. What about Washington's opponent this weekend, the Raiders? Sometimes a good Raiders team shows up. Other times it's just guys wearing the same T-shirt. It's so bizarre. I did not see that game coming against Dallas, where I thought offensively they were unbelievable. What team is going to show up this weekend and then maybe rest of the way?
Yeah, that's the question, and that's the one that I keep coming back to, because one week I feel like, okay, they have it together. They put all the off-field things behind them, and then they do what we expected them to do in a typical Raiders season. And then last week, a week after Derek Carr was so frustrated with the loss they had, they come out and blow the doors off the Cowboys, and you're wondering, just like you, Dan, you're wondering, okay, which team is going to show up? I don't know if they can sustain it, but every time I say that, they seem to come out and make some plays. I think at the end of the day, you have to get after Derek Carr and force him to get off his spot and go to the ball early, because that's when he makes mistakes. He doesn't make a lot of mistakes, but that brings us back to the Washington defense, which, you know, as we know, hasn't been great this year. So it's going to be about minimizing mistakes to sort of break out of the cliches on both sides. It'll probably be a close football game, and you just have to hope that the Raiders show up, the team that shows up that we typically see, in terms of one not being very competitive, although last week was an eye-opener for me for sure. I honestly have no answer. I do not know what to make of this football team.
Ryan, I'm wondering about the teams that you think could win the Super Bowl in the NFC. I mean, I have to throw Arizona in there because they have the best record. Green Bay, Tampa Bay, would Dallas, would the Rams make that cut? Like, where is your line where you would say, I just can't see fill in the blank making the Super Bowl?
Yeah, it's those first three teams you mentioned, Grant, Arizona, Green Bay, Tampa Bay. And Tampa Bay, it feels like they're on the line here because they have not played a lot of good football. A year ago, the excuse was, okay, halfway through the season, Tom Brady's finally comfortable in Bruce Arians' offense, let's go. And they reeled off 10 straight wins, I believe, even coming into this season after they won the Super Bowl. Arizona has been a pleasant surprise. And as long as Kyler Murray's healthy, I'm going to roll with Arizona. I don't know if Cliff Kingsbury is a good coach or not, but he's not doing anything to damage Kyler Murray. So leave it that way and let him do his thing. Just keep him healthy. And then Green Bay, I don't care about Aaron Rodgers' toe. I don't care about the off-field. Whatever's going on with Aaron Rodgers, he shows up and he wins. And I'm not convinced anything is wrong with him unless I see his arm physically removed from his body. He is going to play, and he's going to play at a high level. The issue with the Buccaneers, as I mentioned, is just consistency. The defense isn't what it once was, but as I said, there are no good defenses this year. And Tom Brady has to play better. He's not the only issue, but I think if you're going to press me, Green Bay 1, Arizona 2, and then Tampa will be 3. I have no faith in Dallas or the Rams right now just because they've been playing so up and down.
So this past week, Ryan, we do this lecture size on the show where we basically bet without betting. We assign confidence points to games. And I saw that spread that New England had over Tennessee, and I go, everyone's overrating New England. They're good, but settle down, right? I think Tennessee will hang with them. Nope. The best point differential in the sport, the Patriots. I don't think anybody's playing better than they are in the whole NFL, not just the AFC. They're terrifying at this moment. How much better they're going to get, and kind of where do you put them in the hierarchy of the whole NFL, not just the AFC?
I'm with you, Danny. I had the same thought last week because Mike Vrabel, I don't think he'd ever lost to Bill Belichick as a coach, so mm-hmm. I thought, okay, they're a little banged up. They'll go in there and they'll compete. And I just say this because I'm rarely right. I was a big Mac Jones guy coming into the draft. I had him as my second-rated quarterback, and people were clowning me for weeks and months on social media. And whatever, I won one. So I'm gonna take that victory lap. I'm peacocking right now. You can't see me. But the thing is, and look, let's be honest, it all has to do with fit. You put him on the Jets team, he's probably being hauled up on a stretcher. So the fit, it works. They're not asking him to do a lot. And each week they ask him to do a little incrementally more. They have the running game. They have the defense. And I think last year, Bill Belichick said, look, I understand this is going to be rough going. We got to take our lumps. We're going to spend a ton of money in the offseason. We're going to draft the right guys. Christian Barmore came in. He was a huge get. Ramondre Stevenson came in. He was a huge help at running back. And now if you're the Buffalo Bills, you have to be gravely concerned because not only are you're not looking up at the Patriots, you have to play them twice. And there's a stigma with playing Bill Belichick if you're in that division. Sean McDermott has beaten him in the past, but not frequently. And I think that the Patriots can go as far as they want to go because this conference is wide open. The Chiefs are playing better, but I think the Patriots have an argument for being the most consistent team in the AFC over the last 3 or 4 weeks.
Our guy Ryan Wilson of CBS Sports, you got to check him out on Twitter for draft breakdowns and analysis at Ryan Wilson CBS. It's easy to find. Ryan, I want to ask you about Heinicke come full circle. You mentioned him in passing earlier in the conversation. Are you buying and believing that he is a QB1 in this league, that Washington shouldn't be in the hunt for a quarterback this offseason?
Well, the good news for Taylor Heinicke is that the QB class, in terms of draft, isn't great. And the other good news is he's playing really well. Someone asked me on Twitter the other day during the Monday night game, is Taylor Heinicke for real? Or like, how does he fit into your QB rankings? And I said, he feels like a really like a top-level backup, and that's not a slight. That's someone you want on the bench in case your starter goes down, who can come in and play for a month and make you 2-2, 3-1. And that's what he feels like. I don't know if he's a full-time starter. Case Keenum had that fantastic season, I think, back in 2017 for the Vikings, and he parlayed that to a big-money deal for the Broncos, and now he's a backup in Cleveland. I think Taylor Heinicke has that sort of potential. And, again, that's not a bad thing, being a really good football player, just not one of the best 32. But if I'm Washington, I'm looking to see what happens with Russ Wilson and Aaron Rodgers over the offseason and how that money works. I'm not drafting the guy in the top 15, and they won't be picking top 15 if they keep winning. So yeah, I think right now Taylor Heinicke, the long answer is he's your guy. And, you know, maybe Derek Carr becomes available. Who knows? There are other conversations to have. But right now, that's a good problem to have. He's better than Ryan Fitzpatrick, and that was supposed to be the guy coming in before he got injured. And he's winning football games. What else do you want him to do?
What do you think is the chance that he's their starter in week one next year?
So we'll see what happens with these free agent quarterbacks. And I mentioned the big names, but even some lesser middle-of-the-road names that perhaps come available that we're not even talking about. Look, if you get a guy in the second round that you like, I don't think you have to rush him out there. whether it's a Malik Willis or Sam Howell or whomever. And I think Taylor Heinicke would be the guy in that situation. So I'll put it at 55% that he's the guy next year. Maybe that's a little high. I don't think it's too low. But if he continues to play the way he's playing, and if they can somehow stand with the Bucks every week, he'll be in the Hall of Fame by summertime because he seems to take the Bucks to takes it to Tampa Bay every time they face off.
Ryan, where are you at big picture on Ron Rivera? Because you mentioned that he's better than – talking about Heinicke, he's better than Ryan Fitzpatrick. Fitzpatrick got every first-team rep, was the unquestioned starter somehow, despite a very mediocre at best resume, and here's Taylor Heinicke under their nose. No competition, despite Rivera saying, I wanted a competition. You look at some of the, you know, the personnel moves and then basically just punting on half the season. Now they're playing well. Just kind of big picture. Where are you at on Rivera as not just football coach, but his grand poobah of all things Washington football?
Yeah, I'm a Ron Rivera fan, and I think you could go team by team all across the NFL, except for probably the Patriots, because they always seem to be exceptions and say, I don't understand why we're doing this. Not only in terms of the big picture free agency draft, but also in-game decisions. And a lot of times the in-game decisions are what drives fans crazy week to week. Ron Rivera is probably less conservative than most coaches, especially on the fourth down things, and that's a good thing. And there's nothing better than playing Pete Carroll, who will never, ever go for it on fourth down. But in terms of the big picture, I didn't hate the idea of rolling Ryan Fitzpatrick because his career is the definition of mediocre, but he's been around forever. The Dolphins were going to the playoffs last year if they didn't keep going back and forth between him and Tua. And I thought that he's a bridge guy, and that's a guy you can have until you find your next quarterback. But, you know, we're talking about Taylor Heinicke perhaps being that guy. And I don't fault Ron Rivera for not seeing that or maybe seeing it and wanting to see what he had in Fitzpatrick. But now that you have Heinicke and you don't have any other choices, you got what you got, and it's working out. So this is a credit to Heinicke. And Ron Rivera can say, you know, hey, this is my doing, even though we all know that he just sort of fell into it because of the Fitzpatrick injury.
We thought we were going to have Ryan on around now to be talking about the quarterback class and which one Washington might try to take at 6 overall. And now here we are thinking they might make a playoff run. Ryan, thanks for hopping aboard. We'll catch up with you soon.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks,
be
Ryan.
Well, there's Ryan Wilson of CBS joining us on Grant and Danny here on The Fan. Danny, of the teams, on the outside looking in, you asked, who does he trust the most? And he, like you and I, had a hard time coming up with somebody. This is the point. In the NFC, there aren't 7 good teams. And that's why, like last year, when Washington won the NFC East kind of by default, that's why I think Washington's got a really good chance again this year. Some of it is that they're playing better. Don't get me wrong. They've won 3 in a row.
That's obviously the biggest thing.
They've earned that. Someone's got to get in, though. Minnesota is squandered more opportunities that they've taken advantage of. Atlanta is bad. New Orleans is completely free-falling. Philadelphia just lost to the Giants. The Panthers benched Cam Newton going 5 of 20 in a game this past week. The Giants are 4-7 with the Bears. One of those teams either has to get in or Washington will.
And the teams ahead of them, markedly ahead of them, the Rams have lost 3 of 4 with their lone win against god-awful Atlanta. San Francisco is banged up. Now, they're playing better football of late, but bear with me. Dallas is all of a sudden vulnerable, having lost a couple of games here of late. So there's nothing that's off the table for Washington. And it all starts, you're 100% right, with winning 3 games the way that they have. Really, that Tampa game is the one. Because if you'd lost to Tampa, you'd eked out a W against Carolina and got off of Seattle, we'd be going, what empty calorie wins? Who cares? Why do they do that? You know, I wish they were just playing young guys or something, right? Maybe they'd be kind of, we convince ourselves they're sort of in it. That Tampa win set the stage for all of this.
Yep.
Now you're playing meaningful December football. That's kind of what I thought this team, that was their ceiling, and here they are.
He made it seem like there's a better chance than not that Washington's best option at quarterback next year is Taylor Heinicke. Let's get into that next, because he knows a lot about the draft. He's one of the analysts for CBS Sports when it comes to this quarterback class. And he was quick to admit this is not a particularly good rookie quarterback class. But then he went to free agency and the veteran route and possibly making a trade. And he says 55% he thinks Heinicke's the starter at the beginning of next year. We'll get into that next on Grant and Danny here on The Fan.
Well, the good news for Taylor Heinicke is that the QB class, in terms of draft, isn't great. And he and the other good news is he's playing really well. Someone asked me on Twitter the other day during the Monday night game, is Taylor Heinicke for real? Or like, how does he fit into your QB rankings? And I said, he feels like a really, like a top level backup. And that's not a slight. That's someone you want on the bench in case your starter goes down. He can come in and play for a month and make you 2-2, 3-1. And that's what he feels like. I don't know if he's a full-time starter.
That was Ryan Wilson of CBS Sports just a few minutes ago on Grant and Danny, one of our favorite NFL guests to have on, talking Taylor Heinicke. And like the rest of us, he's got some questions. He's not really sure what he is. But, and this is a big but, he did say, Danny, that he, if he had to bet right now, does think Heinicke will be the starter here at the beginning of next year. And it sounded like maybe his biggest reason for that was this idea that the quarterback class this year, which he's studying, is not all that good. And so maybe his thinking is Washington's not going to be overly aggressive in the first round, trading up or doing what they have to do to go to the quarterback, because there might not be quarterbacks worth it outside of the top few picks. I've always thought they're going to solve this with a veteran. I think they're going to go the free agency or trade route, and more than likely it'll be the trade route, frankly. But that's how I foresee this happening. Heinicke keeps playing this way, though. He would at least play him into the conversation of competing for the job starter next year if they can't trade for a household name and a proven commodity, which has to be a... It's less than a 50% chance that they're able to go out and trade for a stellar quarterback, because those guys aren't often available.
Yeah, it takes extraordinary circumstances. Ryan's correct. It's easily the best odds is that it's Heinicke. And there's a million reasons for it. You touched on them. Right now, if the draft started today, they'd pick 19th. Is that familiar? 19. They did that last year. Welcome, Jamin Davis. Maybe you'll play half the snaps the rest of the season. That's the first and foremost. That's the biggest reason. And this is why, again, the idea that they'll just get one at some point, the lack of urgency was always puzzling to me. If their plan worked coming into this year, and it took a crazy way to get there, but now it's working, this is what they were supposed to be doing, is playing this way, playing tough physical football, yada, 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 winning 9 games, sneaking back into the playoffs, trying to compete in a bad division again. It would be really hard to just go get one later. No matter when you try, it's going to be really hard. You have to be epically bad in an Andrew Luck year, or you've got to pull some kind of crazy machination, go all in, and sometimes you might miss. So, yeah, the most likely outcome here is somebody that's in the journeyman jag, middle of the road, he's available because we don't really want to pay him, tier of quarterback. You know who's already there in-house for a fraction of that cost? Taylor Heinicke. The more he plays like this, the more you go, we could give up draft picks and a huge salary commitment. I mean, listen, Derek Carr makes $20 million plus per year. He's going to make more than that, ultimately, at the end of the day. At Heinicke's salary, I'd rather have Heinicke than Derek Carr. Now, Derek Carr is a better quarterback than Taylor Heinicke. I'm not saying otherwise. But is he 20 times value better? Not to me.
That's interesting. And that's actually something I'm going to write down here to talk about later, because I still think there is a prerequisite of how good you have to be at quarterback, and I'm not sure that they're there.
I don't think they're there.
Like, they could get you to do it for the veteran minimum. That's not better than having Derek Carr.
Correct.
So, you're saying you don't think they're there with Heinicke, but yet you're saying you'd rather have him than Derek Carr.
Yeah, because I don't think Carr does what we would want either. Like, I don't. That's not a star. That's a good player. But I like Derek Carr fine.
You're saying with Heinicke, you're not good enough at quarterback to win, correct?
To win at a high level. I mean, they can do this.
And you think Carr is good enough to win with at a high level?
I don't think it's high enough, because to me, if I'm going to go spend on a quarterback, it's to give me a chance at winning a Super Bowl. It's to be have a great situation.
You don't think you can win a Super Bowl with Derek Carr?
I don't.
Interesting. All right, this was Taylor Heinicke analysis from Ryan Wilson a couple moments ago.
So we'll see what happens with these free agent quarterbacks. And I mentioned the big names, but even some lesser middle-of-the-road names that perhaps come available that we're not even talking about. Look, if you get a guy in the second round that you like, I don't think you have to rush him out there, whether it's a Malik Willis or Sam Howell or whomever. And I think Taylor Heinicke would be the guy in that situation. So I'll put it at 55% that he's the guy next year. Maybe that's a little high. I don't think it's too low. But if he continues to play the way he's playing, and if they can somehow stand in the Bucs every week, he'll be in the Hall of Fame by summertime, because he seems to take the Bucs takes it to Tampa Bay every time they face off.
Let's go to Wade in Lanham. Wade, you're on Grant and Danny. How are you?
Hey, I'm good. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, buddy.
I like to say it's a clear, obvious choice that Heinicke will be the starter next year. I mean, for one, he has nobody, pretty much only Terry McLaurin this season. The running game just started working. He's getting his, now you're getting your tight ends back and your wide receivers back. But he's looking like Houdini in the backfield, you know, being elusive through the track, you know, the blitz. I mean, he's throwing it all on the line, just like the play where he won the locker room last year, diving into the end zone. He throws it all out in there. He's too passionate. The way he plays is undeniable. And lastly, Ron Rivera even said it at the end of the game. We have all we need in this locker room. They don't have to look nowhere else. You know, anything is just keep that depth for you know, that next man up to keep that momentum going. I think we're good with Heineke.
Appreciate the call, dude. It's not as if Ron Rivera post-game after a win is going to say, God, I wish we had other players. Man, I wish we had different pieces.
No, but I get his point, his rallying cry. I don't mean Rivera's as much as the callers. He's saying, I'll roll with Heineke. Look, they're 5-6, though. I mean, let's not pretend like they're 10-1. Like, they're sub-500 for a reason. Mm-hmm. It's because they've been flawed. And through 11 games now, Heineke has had as many bad games as good games. Now, it happens that we're talking after the three good games.
Yep.
I'm very excited that he's played like this. There's a chance he's turned a corner. There's a chance with all these first-team reps he's developing. There is a chance that he could absolutely end up proving that he's a back-end, you know, bottom third of the league starting quarterback when a few weeks ago we kind of had decided he might be a backup on a first-division team. He's progressing, and that is a good, healthy thing. But I don't look, if they had lost three in a row and he had played terrible in three straight games, but the whole early part of the season before that he'd been fantastic, I wouldn't be sitting here going, he stinks. I'm kind of trying to look at this thing as big picture as possible.
Yep.
I'm evaluating all the games. The one he played against the Seahawks this past week, which is very solid, is not more important to me than the Saints game at home several weeks ago when he was bad, or the Bills game on the road. So to me, it's all evenly kind of distributed, and when this thing's all said and done, I'll go back and watch them all through and evaluate them all as such. Let's go to Robert in Richmond on Grant and Danny. Thanks for listening, Robert. How are you?
Hey, great. Listen, I'm a big Heineke fan, A, but B, I just feel like, you know, he's progressing as he should, as having 11, 12 starts, including the one in Carolina, you know, in his whole career. And I feel like it's getting better and better. But the Green Bay game, I thought, was a very good game. They moved the ball into the red zone and couldn't score. And so if you rewind all the games, and I think Heineke has said as much to his own defense, that they moved the ball, just couldn't get in the end zone. So I'm all in on Heineke. I think he could progress into a top, you know, third quarterback in the league. And we just don't know. But I think right now, you got to give the kid, you know, every opportunity to do it, A, and then B, I'd much rather have him at $3 million, whatever his contract is for next year, than going out and getting Russell or Aaron for $35-40 million. I just think it's an easy math calculation at that
That's
point.
Where we will part company. You give me a Hall of Famer, I'll take that Hall of Famer. I'll take Russell Wilson.
Yeah, I think that is silly to say. Now, I want people to call in and give their opinion. We're the fan, right? Because we're the voices of the fan, and this is a platform for you guys. But my analysis on that point is that's crazy talk. Taylor Heineke, who has played at a level, if you're grading out all the metrics, somewhere between, I don't know, like the 20th and the 24th best quarterback in the NFL so far over the duration of this season. I'd have to put my rankings together. But something like that, analytically speaking. I don't care what he costs and what Aaron Rodgers or Russell Wilson, even though he's broken right now, cost. Are you adding someone with a Super Bowl on the mantle? Are you adding someone who's been an MVP? Are you adding a championship-level player that immediately makes you a 10 or 11 win type team?
Think about what offense you can run. I mean, let's say the same, in a hypothetical, the same receiver has a step on a defensive back 33 yards down the field. How many quarterbacks do you pick before you take Taylor Heineke? To me, it's a big number, and that's my kind of big point here, is I need the whole playbook. I need the whole field open to this guy. They're doing this gimmicked kind of makeshift offense that works for them, but if they get the game where the other team can score a bunch of points, good night. The game's over.
I guess my big picture question on Heineke right now is, what is the upside? Like the last caller said, top third of the league. That's top 10 or 11, basically. Yeah. I don't think that's possible at all. So what is? You know, could he be a top 20 quarterback? Possibly. Could he be a top half the league guy that just starts 17 games a year, you never have to worry about, you pay him starters money? I guess that's possible, but I think that would be more for a second division team, meaning a team that's not in the 11-win business, a team like this one this year, honestly, that's scratching and clawing and getting 8 or 9 wins and hoping against hope that maybe you get a little bit of help down the stretch. That's kind of what I think his ceiling is. So if you're talking about adding an adult, as I'll call it, your Derek Carr class of quarterback who is unequivocally top half the league, and when he's going good, top 10, 11, 12, something like that, I'll always take that upgrade. And I think you can find a way. The cap, teams work around the cap all the time. Like, somehow, the Seahawks have done a terrible job at drafting. That's why their roster's bad. It's not because they pay Russell Wilson $32 million. Look at the Saints. Look at the Steelers. I mean, the Vikings are always signing people to $15 million. They're supposedly broke.
Yeah, the Saints are the best case study. When they were bad with Drew Brees, it was a bunch of terrible decisions.
Yeah.
You know, like a bunch of them. And then all of a sudden, they get right. And now, it's not like magically Drew Brees figured out how to win again. It was they had better personnel.
It was interesting, though, to hear our guy Ryan Wilson say he thinks there's a 55% chance Heinicke would be the guy starting next year as of right now. Andrew and Stafford, you're on Grant and Danny. What's up?
Hey, I think with both of you being Nats fans as well, I think I can use a terminology that might make this make sense. Instead of wins above replacement, we're looking at wins above Heinicke. And does Derek Carr does $20 million worth one or two extra wins, whereas Aaron Rodgers and Wilson, they're 4 or 5 of wins above Heinicke. Does that command a $35 million? And it makes perfect sense. We're looking for somebody who can get that above 1.2 or 3.
Interesting. Yeah, I kind of love the analysis. What I would say, though, and we're getting ultra nerdy on this, but I'm not saying I'm right. I'm explaining my philosophy on quarterbacks. I kind of view it as a binary, more so than a wins above Heinicke number or win share. I view it as do you have a guy that's championship caliber or not? Championship caliber might be strong. Do you have a guy that will make it more or less difficult to go win a Super Bowl? I view Derek Carr in it will be less difficult to win a title because I have that guy. Heinicke would not be in that category. So if I'm getting out of bucket number one, which is the tier of I need to do better, into the other bucket, and in this bucket, Carr is with Rodgers and everyone else because there's only the two buckets of this guy's good enough to win with, and I don't have to worry about that position. He'll lose me a game or two a year. He'll win me 2 or 3 games a year. But for the most part, week in and week out, he'll be fine and give me a shot. I'm willing to make that leap. And I think there are probably something like, I'd have to look it up, but maybe like 15 quarterbacks in that bucket. He's one of them. Maybe as many, some years as 17. Heinicke is not one of those guys. So that's where I'm ready to just jump into the other bucket.
Which makes sense. It's not crazy, by the way. I mean, I think of it as six one half dozen the other. I think of it as win with or win because of. Carr's, to me, is a win with. Nothing wrong with Derek Carr.
Right.
You can do pretty well.
Win with.
You can have some pretty good seasons.
No, he's not. There's a very small group of guys that are win because of, in
Agreed.
My opinion. But so then by that standard, I mean, is Heinicke a win with guy?
We're finding that out. Most of the time, it hadn't been the case. But these last 3 weeks, if you do it this way, where you're limited and you're just, you're trying to limit mistakes.
Your offense is scoring 17 points.
That's kind of my point.
And you're running the ball a million times and you're playing the best defense. Like, that's the thing that sometimes I think people forget is this formula is working and they're winning. Their defense is 4th in the NFL. Mm-hmm. Their running game is top 5 in the NFL.
Yeah.
So what we've basically learned is, while Heinicke's been exceptional, the 3-0 formula here is elite defense, elite running game around him. That's not something you can expect next year for a full season.
Precisely.
It's not realistic.
Zero room for error. One special teams gaffe, a fumbled punt, a weird turnover. You lose all those games.
Get you a double play next and continue to get your thoughts on what Ryan Wilson said. Maybe Washington should just roll with Heinicke instead of moving up in the draft if something doesn't present itself on the veteran market. You're listening to Grant and Danny. We'll be right back. We'll make it short and sweet. Want to continue to touch the people on Taylor Heinicke. A lot of folks weighing in on what Ryan Wilson told us at 3 o'clock. I hadn't planned on running with his comments, but he makes it seem like Washington's probably going to have a hard time doing better than Heinicke. I think that's something maybe easier to say right now when he's played the way he has the last three games. Because it is harder to find someone to outperform what he's done these last three games. But let's see where we're at the end of the season. But our double play is sponsored by Mattress Warehouse. Free next day delivery and setup available on all orders over $7.99 and a one-year price guarantee. Learn more at sleephappens.com.
Take the ball real quick on this one. My alma mater, St. Albans, is actually doing a really cool thing, GP. In honor of Malcolm Pittman, who passed away last year, longtime coach, dad, really influential figure in youth sports here in the D.C. area, touched so many hundreds of lives of young folks. They're having a really cool tournament in his honor. It's one of those like fun things that D.C. area has done in the past, and St. Albans is doing one, kind of a public versus private, kind of everybody gets together and they're playing some hoops. Games start Friday afternoon. There are games on Saturday as well. Information's easy to find. St. Albans right there at Garfield and Mass Ave. So Theodore Roosevelt High School, Wilson High School, St. Albans obviously will be there. Coolidge High School is playing in it as well, but it's a really cool thing. A lot of fun. So if you can go out and support that cause, it's wonderful in honor of Malcolm Pittman.
You know how I pride myself on knowing all the mascots of Virginia high schools, and you just can't stump me in Northern Virginia high schools?
Mm-hmm.
I know none of the mascots for D.C. Zippy. I was just thinking about it. You're running through all those schools that you just named. I don't think I could name one of them.
So the only one I know is Wilson, because I went to school 50 feet from Wilson high school.
I'll say is the Wilson Warthogs.
Tigers.
Yeah.
Wilson Tigers.
I would be 0 for however many you're going to question me on in D.C. Let's go to Jacob in Leonardtown on Grant and Danny. Jacob, how are things?
Things are great, guys. How are you?
Hey, man.
Doing well, buddy. Thank you for the call.
Before I get to all my points here, I do want to say I am calling in as a Raiders fan. And
how do you feel about Sunday in Vegas?
Who the hell's going to show up for you guys?
That is a great question. It definitely... You know, hopefully it won't be some of this dysfunction we've been having this year. I'm actually very nervous about this game. I have a buddy, Hunter, who's a big Washington fan. I told him you guys are going to get right just in time to play for us, and it looks to be that way. So I actually disagree with Danny in the last caller. I think even at $20 million a year, Derek Carr can kind of put this team over the edge that they need to be for Washington. I actually can't find another team that I can think of that Derek Carr fits for better than Washington. They have all the players they need on defense. They just need to, you know, keep the continuity going. And I think that he can get you more than one or two wins than Heinicke could. I just think, you know, the whole QB win, wins and losses stat, which is the dumbest thing in the NFL, really gets overlooked with him. I mean, for right now, he leads the league in passing yards. And the Raiders are only 8-5.
Nobody in the league's got more
comeback wins in
the last 5 years.
Yeah.
He is perpetually slept on. Like, people think I love Kirk Cousins. I like advocating for guys who don't get credit. That's what I like. When guys get more flack when they're bad, see Carr, than hype when they're good, see Carr, and he's a lot like Cousins in that way, it annoys me. And I think because those guys don't make plays with their feet and they're not athletic enough like some of these dudes that are, you know, making highlight-worthy plays, they just stand in the pocket and make throws, they get slept on. So, yeah, I do have a little bit of hunger to point out that people are often wrong when they sleep on those dudes. I think Carr's legit, man. I really do.
He is. And look at what he's been through. I mean, despite just this season, his whole career, it's been a revolving door at wide receiver. He's had no chemistry to continue years with any receiver. I mean, maybe Darren Waller might be the only one, and he's a tight end. You know, if you gave Carr a guy like Terry McLaurin every year for at least, you know, 3 to 4 years. I mean, imagine what they could do together.
But, Jake, you know this. Why would the Raiders trade him? I just don't think he's going to be available because of what we're talking about. He's pretty good. Now, unless a new coach comes in there and just wants to blow it up or draft a new guy or something, they're not going to move him, I don't think.
Listen, the way I see it, if the Raiders do not make the playoffs, which is still, I don't think they will, if they do not make the playoffs, I think they blow it up, especially after the whole Gruden, Ruggs, and Arnett incident this year and everything and how this has gone. I think they blow it up. Carr is on record saying he would not play for another team, but I would really like to test and see how that would come after the season if they say, listen, it's not working out. It's
right.
Been 8 years.
Yeah. He's not the only guy.
I know what I said, but you didn't hear the tone or the way I said it.
Appreciate the call. I do. I think he is very underrated. You don't have to convince me.
Yeah, I think because he's underrated, that means sometimes advocates end up maybe moving the needle a little bit too far, if that makes sense. Like, he's good. The people that say he's not are wrong. The people that then are arguing so vociferously to say he's so underrated, that can sometimes maybe lead to overrating, if that's even possible. My voice went up there a little bit at the end. But to me, he's in the that you could do a lot worse. And this is, we faced this decision here in Washington years ago. It kind of stung a little bit to pay Kirk Cousins X amount of dollars. I know what the alternative looks like. The wasteland is awful. If my choices are wasteland and Derek Carr, I'll pay Derek Carr whatever he wants. If my choices are, you know, Derek Carr and another guy in the Derek Carr tier, I'll go, well, who costs less? You know, or who's got a more cap-friendly deal, or who's younger? Whatever it is. Carr is good. But the idea that, you know, all it takes is a trade for Derek Carr to put this team over the top is not something I'll get to.
I'm not saying that. The only reason he even came up is because you brought up you'd rather have Taylor Heinicke
I understand.
No money than Carr at 20, which is a massive discount for Carr. Greg Rosenthal does a piece every week I like analytically where he chops up the QB position. And this is not just like taking into account like where a guy's drafted or what people think of them, right? It's week in and week out where this season the quarterbacks rank in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
He's got Derek Carr fourth on his list right now.
He's having a really good year
for
man.
This year. There have not been 10 better quarterbacks in the NFL over the last 4 years than Derek Carr. I think he and Cousins are the two guys in the position that probably like get the most flack. And I think it's in Cousins' case, he's a nerd. You know, like it's easy to poke fun at him. He's cooking steaks that look weird on the grill. But they're not like in a era now where you need to make plays with your feet. Those guys can't do that, and they won't do that. That would be the one thing that would give me pause about going and getting Derek Carr, by the way, for any team is. When you get beat on a blitz, it's over. He turtles. He goes to the ground. Uh-huh. It's that Eli Manning thing. And I think people just can't have that. Like, you watch a Ravens game and you see what Lamar Jackson does, or a Cardinals game with Kyler, or a Bills game with Josh Allen, and then you flip on the Raiders or the Vikings or one of these teams with these, like, legit pocket passers that are not going to extend plays. And I understand that you want the play extender. You want the athlete. But the other things that are kind of endangered species at this point aren't terrible, and people act like it is. John in Blacksburg, what's going on?
Hey, GT. Love the show, guys. Been a long time listener, first time caller, actually.
Appreciate you.
Calling about Washington. So I think that Heinicke is the guy for now, but we're going to see as the season goes on. We haven't played Dallas. We haven't played Philly yet. We are in the playoff chase in December, and I thought we'd be talking about draft picks, you know? So I think that Heinicke has shown potential, and we're really going to see what happens down the stretch. But we need to continue running the ball. And as you said, we are not going to always have this top five run game and top five defense. I don't know whether Carr is the answer, but I think we stick with Heinicke and just see what he has the next couple of weeks and the rest of this month as the season winds down.
Appreciate you. Here's a question along those lines. It just kind of hit me that if they make the playoffs, at, say, 9-8.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times, even if you want to move on from a coach, after they have the little run and they make the playoffs, you can't. If they get into the playoffs at 9-8, even if it has a lot to do with the conference as much as it does them, doesn't that make it harder to replace Heinicke at that point? Right?
It's one of the reasons why I'm calling this. I think this is what's going to happen.
Frankly, if they make the playoffs, it would almost feel like they might say he earned it. Right, he's earned the opportunity to have the job going into camp or whatever. Now, maybe you bring someone in to compete with him. But I'm saying in the choice they would have of replacing him, I think it gets harder to do, especially if they were somehow to get to, 10-7, which is completely unrealistic, in my opinion, that they would only lose one game the rest of the way. But if they were 10-7 and made the playoffs, I think it'd be really hard to go in any other direction.
Yeah, it'd be his gig. They basically say, this is who we are. This is our identity. And to me, it's when I hear someone say he's shown potential, I want to follow up. I want to drill down on that. Potential to do what? Potential to win and play this way, which is fine. You can win a couple games this week. You can beat Carolina when they're reeling. You can beat Seattle when they're god-awful and score 17 points. I know they beat Tampa Bay, but you're limited. You see what I mean? And that's the thing that I feel like I'm stuck on that nobody else is. It's they're doing it this style. It depends on God, the defense has to be great. And, man, Antonio Gibson better not have a bruised shin or whatever, right?
Yeah, and no one better fumble on play 11 of a drive.
Yeah.
There better not be a holding penalty on play 14.
Their margin for error is so thin this way, and you can do it for a short period of time, even 10
they've
weeks.
They've been unbelievable on third down, by the way.
Yes.
That's another thing. It has to happen. You got to be good on third down. They were terrible for weeks. Now they're good. Beltway Blitz is next. Is there going to be a lockout at midnight tonight in Major League Baseball? Sounds like we are headed that way. We're Grant and Danny.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.